Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, it's time for us to get into our first conversation for this afternoon, and we're going to be joined on the line by Pastor Andrew Perry, speaking to us about the beauty of meekness in this very, very prideful world. All right, now, what does meekness really mean? Right? This is the question that we've been trying to answer this entire week, right? So today we're going to be turning our attention, like I said, to Psalm 37, verse 7, which tells us, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." And so with this in mind, what is the Bible actually saying about defending oneself or about speaking up against injustice? What does that look like? How does a meek person stand up against injustice? Or are we just supposed to mind our own business if it doesn't affect us directly? This is what we'll be talking about. And we're going to also look at the example that we see from our Lord himself. All right, my pastor, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you. And thank you for having me. I'm hoping that my sound is clear.
Perfectly clear. Thank you so much. And so glad to have you. Thank you so much for making time for us once again. Now, Pastor, let's get straight into it. Should a meek person not seek to defend his rights or protect himself, protect other people? How do we respond to these kinds of situations as meek people? Are we expected to just keep silent in the face of injustice as a show of meekness?
Certainly not. So meekness, we described it earlier, that it's strength under control.
Right.
And so it's not weakness, it's not passivity, and it's not, we shouldn't be expected to remain silent, right, in the face of wrong. All in the name of being meek. Mm-hmm. There's a contemporary song that was released a few years ago, and the line I like because it says, "Try Jesus, not me, because I throw hands." Right? So one must be able to boldly speak against injustice, mm-hmm, obviously without arrogance or harshness, but yeah, boldly nonetheless.
All right.
And I think we see it in a number of scriptures. You know, we see there's a text that last week I was preaching somewhere, and I felt like that spirit that was on Jesus when he whipped people, yeah, was on me that particular day, because you know, there was a moment like that where Jesus had it, you know, so he whipped people. So there's instances like that where one must stand to see that correct things prevail.
And do we still see meekness, though, in that picture, even when we're using Jesus himself, you know, throwing his whip around in that situation? Is meekness still there, or is meekness something that you can take off and put on when necessary?
I think there's still meekness there, because again, strength under control. Jesus was able to do much more than whip them.
Right.
But he only meted out what was appropriate for that moment, because he could have done much more by possibly just waving his hand. They would have fallen or even disappeared, or the ground could have still opened or whatever, but he chose that method particularly, and I think that was meekness, because he could have done more, but he used what was enough to just get the message to them and discipline them.
Sure. I understand that.
Yeah.
And when I think about the, you know, even that song, I was actually thinking about that song a few days ago, and I was thinking to myself, it's so funny how we've got this picture in our minds that trying Jesus would be the safer option, because, you know, I throw hands, you don't mess with me, I'm not like Jesus. And I'm like,
right.
You don't know the same Jesus that I know about.
That's true.
You guys are not talking about the same Jesus who fights demons, who demons tremble when they hear his name. And here we are,
yeah,
making him like, he's just a meek savior. Like, what's he going to do? It's Jesus. He's a good,
yeah,
guy. He's not going to do anything. Yeah. Nah?
Yeah.
Now, Pastor, Luke chapter 7, for when you look at that whole situation from verse 36 to 50, it describes a dinner at Simon the Pharisee's house, where a sinful woman anoints Jesus' feet with oil, washes them with her tears, and dries them with her hair, actions that highlight her love and her gratitude for his forgiveness. Now, when we look at this passage, what does it teach us about meekness and its rewards? As we look at the woman's gesture, as we look at Simon's response and all of that.
So I think that there were some things that we highlighted earlier in the week about what meekness is. And in this story, we see how her meekness opened a door to grace.
Right.
Because she was able to humbly see herself in her true light, to see that she needed a savior, opposed to how Simon saw himself in his arrogance or self-righteousness. And how judgmental he was, thinking if only he knew who this woman is. So he felt like he had one up on Jesus, like, I know who she is. I don't know if you know who she is, right? So her humility, her brokenness opened the door to grace, and it allowed her to approach God without pretense.
Right.
And I think that there's a lesson here for someone to learn, that God can save real people and not the pretend people we are. Because some people pretend to be righteous, you know. But like, if you pretend to be that, the Bible says he came to seek and save the lost, then you're going to miss out on the opportunity to be saved, because you're acting not lost, and yet you are. But if you can come without pretense and say, oh, Lord, I'm really struggling with this, and I think it needs your attention, then like the woman, we can receive the grace that we need. I think it produces a deeper love and gratitude, because you've come without anything to hide, and you've received the love from the one who could condemn you, and yet he doesn't. He otherwise gives you love.
Yeah.
I think that produces deeper gratitude and love. Mm.
Powerful. And then Simon's response?
Simon's response actually closed him up to the experience of love and grace, because he chose not to see what was really happening in that moment. So his pride blinded him. And again, there's a lesson there for someone to learn, that you gain much more from being meek than not being meek.
Yeah.
And that meekness opens your eyes to truly see how much of Jesus you need to be able to receive the grace of God.
That's interesting. And when I think about Simon's response also, and what you're saying, that he then missed out on such an incredible opportunity and lesson, that kind of tells me that sometimes, you know, it might be a situation that doesn't even affect you directly, but there's so much to learn from other experiences, other people's interactions with the Savior, that there's something to learn from them as well. And as long as we keep putting up our guards and keep thinking that we are better than the next person, or thinking we can't learn from anybody else because I have a master's degree or I'm a theologian, then you're missing out, essentially. You're the one who misses out. Now, what are some practical examples that you can share with us of meekness in action, especially in these kinds of situations where there's some kind of injustice taking place or things are going wrong and someone has to stand up and say something, but still with an attitude of meekness?
So that would look like apologizing first. It would look like staying calm and provocation, because I could throw hands, but then I decide to keep calm,
right.
even when you're being provoked. This is more so for one who is in authority or in power, you know, because earlier on in the week we were talking about how it's not meekness if you can't do anything about something, right?
Okay.
It's got to be strength under control. So it's more so for someone who's in power, when they can stay calm under provocation. And listening to criticism is another one of those where you can listen without being defensive or without trying to defend yourself, and maybe even choosing not to retaliate, because you've got, there's nothing to defend. You know who you are, and you know who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
meekness actually looks like you choosing not to retaliate or clap back or win an argument and things like that. Those would be some of the practical examples of what meekness would look like in action.
Sure. And let's bring a practical situation into our minds. Because I'm saying this because we also live in a world where we kind of just want to mind our business. So I'm trying to imagine walking somewhere in a public space, a supermarket, a mall, or a park, whatever. And I see somebody mistreating or speaking badly to their child or to their spouse. Is that my business? Do I step in and say, come on, you know better than this. You don't have to do that. Or am I sticking my nose where it doesn't belong? How does a meek person respond? Especially, like you say, it's a situation where you actually have the power to do something about it. So if it is an abusive situation, I'm bigger than the other person. And if it had to go there, I could take that person. Right?
Yeah.
But as a Christian, how do I deal with such a situation while also learning to mind my own business? I don't know. How do we step in? How do we help and actually do something the way Jesus would?
So in Zambia, we have the Public Order Act. And I think that that particular act would secure me or anyone within our borders. So in other words, the believer must have an understanding of the law to know how can I step in, because sometimes stepping in is what's getting you in trouble.
Okay.
But if this interaction that's happening is actually disrupting public order, you can calmly come in and step into the situation.
Yeah.
To try and see if you can diffuse it without any more incidents.
Yeah.
So basically jumping in to calmly correct, to be very respectful.
Yeah.
You can come and advocate for, say it's a parent dealing with a child maybe too harshly. You can come in and advocate for this particular child, but be aware that there might be a backlash towards you. That also just looks like trying to bring peace to that situation and resolving whatever else follows after if it goes too far.
Yeah.
So if there's fighting and you're able to get in the way to stop the fight, because you're able to administer a bigger beating to the other person, not as a way of administering the beating,
sure,
but because you know you can defend yourself,
yes.
You step in, stop the fight, and then deal with
whatever comes next.
I think, that's what it would look like to me.
Which would mean it's more about having the discernment, right? To know
when the Holy Spirit then directs you
when it's time to say something or when it's time to just keep quiet and mind your business.
Yes.
Or how to go about dealing with it. Right.
Yeah. Because sometimes you could be stepping in too early, and yet this is how these people talk when they are home.
Right.
And so it's not so serious. It sounds serious to you because of the tone.
Yeah.
But then this is how these people talk when they're at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it goes with just listening to God and following what he says in that moment.
Got it. Now, how can we cultivate meekness in areas where we may struggle with pride or anger? I'm thinking of a situation where maybe I'm a very educated person and we're in a situation where someone is trying to talk to me sideways and I know more about this subject than the other person.
Yeah.
How do I practice meekness where I know that what you're talking nonsense, really, and I know this because I'm more educated than you, or I'm smarter than you, or I'm better than you in this particular area or whatever. How do I still continue to be meek when I know that I'm better at this than you are? Essentially.
Yeah. So again, I'd want the listener to remember the scriptures, like the one you started with, Psalm 37:7, is it? We're also going to go to Galatians 5:22-23.
Mm-hmm.
Because meekness is a fruit of the Spirit, it's a spiritual process. It's not a personality trait, okay?
Right.
So where you've caught yourself, and then maybe the other text I'd be giving is John 6, the work of the Holy Spirit, that he convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment.
Right.
Where the Holy Spirit has revealed to you Kutisis, you could be proud in this area. Mm. You've got to have, once that has been revealed to you, however it's been revealed to you, you have to have daily surrender to God. Mm-hmm. Much like David says in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That should be a daily prayer.
Yeah.
And when we pray like that, God gives us more opportunity to practice. So more and more you may have opportunities to flaunt your qualifications and to scream about all that you've been able to do.
Yeah.
But the more you practice, the easier it becomes to you know, be meek, if I can put it that way.
Yeah.
So it has to start with the Holy Spirit, because it's a spiritual process or a spiritual trait. Number two would be for you to remember God's mercy. Just remember how much He's forgiven you.
Mm.
Because sometimes we think of the dying world as the world of sinners, and remove ourselves from the statistics of sinners, and yet we are still sinners. And so remembering God's mercy and just thinking about how much He's forgiven you can keep you humble, which is meekness. And practice, because Christianity is practice. So practice restraint, practice silence, and then finally, I guess, seek feedback and accountability from people who know you, the ones who know how much you can boast. Ask them, how do you think I'm doing? Is there still an area that needs help? We need that. I mean, that's what Hebrews 10:25 should be about. Do not forsake the assembly of each other together, is the manner of some. But encouraging one another, much more so as you see the day approaching. So when you have people around you who know you, then you have people who can help you see yourself through their eyes.
Beautiful. I love that. I really like, you know, when you just talked about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I was reminded again that, you know, we overcomplicate the Christian experience sometimes. And when we look at meekness as some kind of a costume, or like, as you said, as a personality trait, then we think that it's something that I must work for it. I must force it.
Yeah.
I must put it on. I must perform it, rather than be it by the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. Just have it be a natural result or consequence of the Holy Spirit's presence.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. Final thoughts, how to approach injustice, abuse, just difficult situations with a spirit of meekness.
So we have been given this invitation in Scripture for us to fight for people's, or for justice in people's lives. Particularly, it mentions widows and orphans. So it's an invitation from God, but then you always want to do it with God and not do it alone. So when you find yourself in a moment where something is happening that you think needs justice or needs somebody to step in, go at it with God and say, there's this situation happening right now. How do I go about it? And then start moving. So you don't pray and wait for an answer. You pray and then start moving.
Ooh.
So as you move, He then responds, walk away. Or as you move, He then responds, get closer. You know, so you pray and you start moving. There's a quote, I think it's Frederick Douglass, who talked about praying for freedom, and then it didn't come, and then says, it only came when I started praying with my feet. So you pray and you start moving towards the situation, and then the Lord makes it clear as you get closer whether this is something you can deal with and how you can deal with it, where there's that. Or if it's at the office, for example, you pray about it and see how you can step in for somebody who needs you to step in for them.
Beautiful. I love that. That's powerful. And that's a rebuke to me, because I am the queen of procrastination because of not wanting to make a mistake. So sometimes I find myself stuck in one position because I'm waiting for God to make something clear. But I love that rebuke. Just pray and start moving, and then the Holy Spirit will then guide you as long as you're moving. Beautiful. Thank you so much for this conversation, Pastor. God bless you. And we'll be closing things off tomorrow for our final session.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me on today.
All right.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.